On this week's episode of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily, we're going to double up on the interviews. We got Keith Brown, number one inside linebacker in the 2021 class. We also have Christian Miller coming on, three-star out of the great state of South Carolina. Also, we have a few questions from you guys, and we have a couple topics we're going to hit on. So we'll catch you guys on the other side of this. Sweet home, Alabama. Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Friday, September 13th. Friday the 13th, it's a spooky day. So we're going to talk about last week's games. We're going to talk about a few games this week. So we'll start with the past. John, give me a couple games from last week that stood out to you.
I'm going to skip last week. You know what's spooky?
What's spooky?
Carrier Dome.
Syracuse. Ooh, spooky, spooky stuff.
Yeah, very spooky place. All right, last week's game, I'm just going to go with LSU is the real DBU. Texas is my Ducks won 77-6. That was pretty big. Did you see the Colorado game against Nebraska?
I did not, actually.
I was watching it with my cousin. Nebraska, overrated. Michigan also overrated. I'm just going to ramble off some thoughts here. Tennessee still stinks. And Syracuse not going undefeated. So
you can't argue the numbers.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start with one of the games you just talked about, and that's going to be the LSU game. I agree with you that they obviously look like the real deal. The offense is actually doing what an offense does this year. But to say that LSU is DBU is kind of a crazy statement. They won the battle of teams that claim to be DBU. But the pass defense for LSU, I would not call it spectacular.
Oh, no, I'm just saying LSU is the real DBU in general. Like, I think DBU comes down to LSU or Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Ohio State honestly probably gets the edge on that one.
I disagree.
Let's just keep talking about games, though.
Nope.
The BYU-Tennessee game was ecstatic for anyone who knows, a very little group of people I talk to. I bet BYU straight, so when they had that pass end of the game to tie it up or to set up the game-tying field goal, I almost urinated my pants. Let me go.
I forgot about that game, honestly. I knew they lost. I forgot how they lost. And now that you just reminded me, that's
great. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Maryland, Syracuse. Maryland, I did not expect them to blow the doors off Syracuse the way they did. I really did not. I was going to bet, as I said it last week too, I think, I was going to bet Syracuse. I think they were +3. And I said, there's no way Maryland loses this, Syracuse loses this game. They're a good team. And Maryland showed up. They played some good football, obviously. The Michigan Army game surprised me that it went into.
Yeah, Michigan stinks.
Two overtimes, yeah, they dropped in the rankings.
As they should have. They probably
the one thing that bothers me about like the people in the replies to Michigan's tweets, and like they're all like, "Oh, they shouldn't even be top 10, blah blah." Like people are talking about Army as if they're like UMass.
Okay,
I'm not saying that it should have been a close game, but Army's not an incompetent football team. Like they can play football. They play that. They master the style of football they play, but I agree it shouldn't have been a close game. Michigan should have won that game by 20. But to say that Army is a cakewalk is kind of stupid.
That game should not have been within 35 points.
I agree.
Just going to say that. Army's good, but you have to – in order for Army to beat a top-tier team, you have to beat yourself pretty much every drive. And that's exactly what Michigan did.
Yeah, honestly, Michigan's lucky that they won that game.
Lucky there? Oh, my God. Army – they're lucky that Army has not figured out the forward pass since they began playing football. Calvin Hopkins threw four passes. I believe one was picked, and the other one was just incomplete for 43 yards. Everything else came on the ground.
Yeah, Calvin Hopkins was 2 of 4.
Yeah, everything else came on the ground from Army. They're also lucky that Army missed the field goal that would end the game.
Yeah, I think that was a long field goal. Like, I think I was almost in the mid-50s. So that was a hike for the true freshman. But while we're still talking, because we just talked about Tennessee, did you see what Tennessee did this week for that little kid?
Yes. The scholarship?
Yeah, did you see the whole story?
Yes. My mom told me about it.
So for those of you who haven't, the quick rundown of it is there was a kid, he was in elementary school. The school was having like a school spirit day, so they got to wear college attire to whatever school they wanted to support. I don't know if he didn't own a Tennessee shirt or, he doesn't come from much wealth. I'm not sure the whole situation, but the kid wore a t-shirt that he made himself with an orange shirt, and he pinned UT on it. And when he got to school, he was bullied. Kids were making fun of him for the shirt. And when Tennessee heard, they sent him like boxes of shirts, pens, notebooks, all sorts of those stuff. They sold his shirt design, and they actually ran out of it in, I think, like 25 minutes or something stupidly short. And just today, I think it was today, that University of Tennessee is actually giving this kid like a full scholarship for when he graduates high school. So yeah, they may stink on the field, but off the field, University of Tennessee, that's a win for me.
Yeah, no, definitely. Too bad they can't win anything on the field.
Yeah, so they have to make it up with off the field, but that was definitely a good gesture they did.
We can quickly touch on Rutgers. They're not back, sadly.
Yeah, we thought they were back. I really did, but...
I really can't wait for Chris Ash to be gone at this point. His game planning against Iowa was possibly the dumbest game plan I've ever seen.
Indeed, I agree.
Just rolling out into pressure every single play was, instead of rolling away from the pressure, and then on top of that, you put Arden, which was just, why? What was the point? We're already down, like, I think 20-something points. Like, he's not going to make the comeback. And then you have him throw a pick again. Like, you're just going to kill his confidence. Like,
you also know who isn't back of the week? Kansas.
No, Kansas isn't back either.
Losing 12-7 to Coastal Carolina, not great for the look of Les Miles.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Chanticleers are pretty good, though.
Florida State, yeah, they are a good team. Florida State
stinks.
Being given the win. Mad.
But Willie T's got to go. They just hired Jim Levitt as an analyst, though. He was a former DC at Oregon, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so we just, we touched on a good portion of week two. Let's talk about some week three games. And unlike last week that did have some high-tier matchups, any games really jump out to you on this week's schedule?
Clemson's going to lose to Syracuse. Take it to the bank. Probably not. I actually think Clemson's going to have a revenge game. But I don't know. Last time they stole Syracuse's hotel because Clemson stays where Syracuse for home games, they stay at a hotel. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty common.
Clemson rents out the hotel that Syracuse plays at, takes, though. So last time, the Syracuse players were really pissed, and they showed Clemson how pissed they were. I kind of want Dino Babers to win this game, though. I just really want to see another one. Iowa State's game day.
Yeah, rightfully so. There's not really much on the schedule.
Yeah, there is. UCF Stanford.
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to be a good game.
And UCF's going to win, and people are going to clown the Pac-12.
Let's see what else we got. USC-BYU, I think, could be a good game.
And BYU's going to beat them.
I don't know. If the same USC offense shows up that it did last week, there's so many athletes on that offense. And if you have Slovis comes out and plays the game he did last week, like, he got my game ball, and that was probably one of the better performances from a QB in general that I've seen. I mean, some of the balls he was throwing were, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, but you got to think, BYU only lost by, I think, 17 or 18 to number 11 Utah. I don't think they're going to struggle with USC at all.
No, BYU's a good team. Right, so I think that'll be a close game. Chattanooga tries to beat Tennessee and make them 0-3. That would be electric.
The memes, that would be so great. That'd be good for the sport.
Pitt Penn State is also this week. It's not going to be much of a game.
I do want to talk about real quick the game that I had in mind real quick. It was Washington State, Houston. That is going to be a good game. Shootout, Friday night game. Definitely going to watch it.
Mike Leach. The one game, obviously, that I'm interested in because I'm going to it. Anyone who's going to be at University of Virginia this week when they play Florida State, you know, stop by, visit. I'll tweet out, like I always do when I go to games, section where I'm at. You know, stop in, say what's up.
You're going with Trevor, right?
Yep.
How do you think he feels that he's spending all this money to go to a game they're going to lose?
I tell you what, he's not happy right now.
Why? He thinks they're going to lose?
He's like almost positive they're going to lose.
Is that true?
He says that he was talking to me before because we were just talking, and his thinking is that his dreams pretty much lie on Virginia not playing defense because Florida State's offense has put up points in the first half. They've pretty much used all their points up in the first half, though. That's the problem. So he's hoping that Florida State just bullies them in the, you know, offensively. But he follows one of the Seminole pages on Twitter, and it's five guys tweeted out their report, like their predictions. And I think he said four of them had them losing by two or plus touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I don't expect them to win at all, actually. So their offense is real. I don't know. There's something. They're another USC. They're the East Coast USC.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Willie went in there and tried to run. He tries to run the offenses that like, work well in Oregon.
They didn't even work well in Oregon.
No.
They didn't even do good.
No, I mean, like, the theoretical offenses, like, when Chip was there. Like, Chip Kelly's offenses, like, those were good offenses at Oregon. So he tried to implement them down in Florida State.
But he's not Chip Kelly.
And he doesn't have the pieces that Chip Kelly had.
No, he at Florida State he does, but he just can't do it. He was not.
You finish.
He is not. Chip Kelly's an offensive genius.
I agree.
Maybe not right now. It doesn't look like it at UCLA, but like he said, you don't rip the tree out of the ground to check if it's growing. You just keep watering it. He said that about UCLA. Kind of love that. But, I believe he's an offensive genius. He gets yards when there's no yards to be gained. It's very impressive. Willie tries to do that, but he's just, like, not half as good at it.
Yeah, and I think, like I'm not saying he doesn't have talented personnel at Florida State, because he obviously does. It's Florida State. They bring in fours and fives as much as they want, pretty much. But the player type that is at Florida State right now is a completely different offensive, like, athleticism than what they had with Chip Kelly at Oregon. Like, Oregon had a lot of guys back then who were 4.3s, who, you know, just outran people. Where he's trying to run that at Florida State, and, like, I just don't think that's the offense that Florida State should be running. He tries to run a lot of screen passes, and this is year two of, like, the screen passes just not working.
Yeah, but in his defense, he doesn't have a quarterback.
He does not have a talented quarterback.
Exactly. So screen passes is probably the only way they can gain yards, because you have Alex Duck Arm Hornibrook, who can't throw more than 10 yards, and then James Blackman, who is just kind of like a de facto starter. You know, he kind of fell into a starting job.
Like, the thing with Blackman, like, if it's not a screen pass, it's a 60-yard pass. Like, there's no, like, medium gains with him and in that offense. It's very weird.
Yeah, and they have Kendall Briles, too, who's not, and they have Cam Akers, like, they have talent on offense, but just they're so not good.
Like, we talked about this earlier in the week. I actually compared Willie to, like, a Lane Kiffin, who, like, Lane Kiffin, outside of what he's done at Florida Atlantic, was not a good head coach.
Like, yeah, but I think Nick Saban kind of, like, disciplined Lane Kiffin a little bit. I think Kiffin was, like, a little gun-happy, super aggressive, and then Saban kind of taught him, like, it's like chess almost. Like, you got to learn, pick and choose when you're going to take a shot.
Yeah, so, you know, this makes me wonder, like, Willie obviously, he's obviously a good recruiter. He had good classes at Oregon. Like, is he just a good recruiter, and he could be a good coordinator? It's just, he's just not a head coach.
No, he's not even, I don't know. He's not even that good of a recruiter. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's head coach material. I'm just going to say that right now. Because he was not a great recruiter at Oregon. I mean, look at Mario Cristobal, like, Oregon's recruiting, like, top 10 nationally now.
Well,
Chip Kelly couldn't recruit either.
My argument to Willie right there would be when Willie left for Florida State. Didn't he have like the number 9 class in the country?
No.
I thought he did.
No, he didn't. No, he most certainly didn't.
All right. Well, after some further research, I had to go back on the Twitter and go back to the old days, to when this was actually one of the first stories that we low key like kind of broke. Like, we were the first ones on the Willie News, but we only had like 100 followers. So those 100 people were lucky to find out first, though. When Willie left Oregon, or before he left Oregon, they had the number 7 class in the country, and they had obviously the number 1 in the Pac-12. So I was right.
Yeah, I don't know. I still can't believe that. Probably wouldn't have finished with that, but I don't think he's a great recruiter, just putting it out there, because his classes at USF weren't great. I just don't like him as a head coach yet.
All right, so we're going to transition after all that Willie Taggart talk. We're going to talk. We tweeted out earlier in response to ESPN's Top 150, Greatest Teams of All Time. We asked you guys for your opinion, so now we're going to express ours. So, John, what was your opinion, best team all time?
So, mine is either last year's Clemson team or 2001 Miami.
Okay.
What about you?
The team that sticks out to me is the 04 USC team, even though Reggie got it. I'm pretty sure that was one of the Reggie got his Heisman taken away, but still, on the field, Leinart and Reggie Bush just absolutely like tore teams apart. Back to back. Now that was the second of their back to back national championships. And then even in the BCS game against number 2 Oklahoma, it wasn't like it was a close game. It was 55-19. I'm looking at it right now. So they went out and they dominated. So I think like that team probably would stand in any of the best teams category. And they were number 2. On ESPN's list. Your Clemson team was, let me look, actually, so you said last year's Clemson team?
Yeah, 2018.
And what was the Miami team you said?
01.
They were 7. And let me see. Okay, 5 was the 2018 Clemson team.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, not 2019? Oh, yeah, never mind. So, yeah, so, I mean, Our choices were both top 10 teams.
I just want to go through Miami real quick. I'd also give a shout out to that Florida State team that won a national championship, because that entire team got drafted.
Yeah, that team actually came to my head at first.
Miami 01, Ken Dorsey at quarterback. They had Davenport, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, and Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Shockey, Andre Johnson, Jonathan Vilma, and Ed Reed.
Yeah, it's a pretty good team.
And it also had Kellen Winslow as the backup tight end to Jeremy Shockey. There was just so many NFL guys on this team. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, and Frank Gore. Entre Roll played for the Giants. Vince Wilfork was a backup defensive tackle.
Fun fact, Entre Roll actually gave a speech at my sister's graduation.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, that Clemson team, though, ridiculous. Same thing with the Florida State team.
Yeah. I think that's one of those questions that, like, no one's ever going to be satisfied with your answer.
Yeah.
So let's go into questions. We're going to start with the first question from iHeartOU. He wants to know which college coach has the most swagger ever.
Okay, so you probably saw my answer to this because I tweeted back at him. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to Herm Edwards. Did you see that picture of Herm with all the Yeezys?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, Herm Edwards, and like just the way he just does not care about like anything, and his quotes are so funny. Like I'm going Herm Edwards.
My choice, and I have two, kind of. And I have two. My first one, we are a huge Mike Leach podcast, so he's got to be on my list just because he's Mike Leach. Like, he's the same thing as Herm. Like, doesn't care. Kind of just whatever happens, happens, I feel like. And also, I got to go Coach O.
Really? Coach O doesn't have swag.
Oh, dude, Coach O is nuts. He's definitely a swag. Yeah, dude, he walked into a recruit's house and made himself dinner.
Yeah, but that's not swag. Like, it's not. I don't know.
He doesn't wear shirts when he works out. Yeah, that's kind of swag.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would say
Lincoln Riley, maybe.
Maybe Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. I'd also say maybe Saban. He's got like got Godfather kind of thing going on.
He has like that like reputation of being great swag.
Yeah, he has that it about him, you know, like mm-hmm. he walks in the room and you know like, oh shit, this guy's hung, like, you know what I'm kidding? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, so the next question is from Spencer, SG0616. He wants to know who we think is going to win the Big Ten West. I'm trying to think back on my Big Ten West predictions because we did this. So I'll let you give yours first while I find mine.
If it wasn't Wisconsin, it is now. Drumming they put on USF, and I love how they're pushing this Jonathan Tower Heisman thing so hard because I want him to win Heisman, former Rutgers commit. But he has been nasty.
I can't seem to find my list, but I do actually think I have it saved. But I do agree with Wisconsin. Like, I don't think I had Wisconsin winning it, but after the first 2 weeks, they've looked very good. I agree with the Jonathan Taylor hype. Maybe we'll have an ex running back come on and talk about that.
Yeah, former Doak Walker Award winner. Text him the other day waiting to get his schedule back. So
my Big Ten West was either Iowa, and then I had Wisconsin at 10-2 and 9-3. So I had Wisconsin as a possible co-champ.
Yeah, I think that Wisconsin wins it though. So that's what I'm going to go with.
All right, so our next question is from the man himself, Isaac Ogle. He's on pretty much every week. We're always talking to him. Shout out to Isaac.
Yeah. Shout out to him for his Cincinnati, his lock. Cincinnati upsetting Ohio State.
You know what? I actually have a bone to pick with Isaac right now, because last week during the USC game, he tweeted at us and said, "Are you watching USC get absolutely destroyed by Stanford?" And I think as he tweeted that, that's when USC started like the 41-10 run that they went on. So he cost me my bet. Because he tried blaming one on us a couple weeks ago. So now, you know what? It's back at you now.
Yeah, but he's probably like our biggest like supporter. So shout out to that guy.
Yeah. But his question was, could Clemson's schedule affect the playoff bid? Who is playing? And he wants to know who's playing in a New Year's Six Bowl from the group of five.
All right. First one, UCF. I mean, second one, UCF again, probably. Unless they lose. If they lose, I'm going to say no one. Or I mean, maybe Houston, actually. And then what was the other one was Clemson's schedule.
Yeah. Does it affect their playoff bid?
No, because they haven't lost in over a year.
Yeah. I think the only way it affects them is if they lose very bad to one game.
Like if they lose Syracuse this weekend.
Yeah. I think that would especially Syracuse coming off a terrible loss to Maryland. I think, I don't think it'll really impact them that much, especially because it's only week three. So if they go out, win the rest of the season, win the ACC like that, obviously they have a lot of momentum going forward. But I think a late season loss would hurt them a little bit more than a loss right now would. But I don't see their schedule really pushing them.
Except for when they lose to Syracuse this week.
Yeah, if you say so.
All right.
So I think the last question, let me just double check, make sure I'm not skipping over one.
Oh, we have one in the DMs too. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not.
I'll read it quick.
Yeah.
Is Harbaugh done if he comes up short again from a Big Ten title?
I mean, I've expressed my opinion on this like a couple times. I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you fire a coach for, I mean, winning 10 games, 9 games a year?
When you're in Michigan, I think you do.
Yeah, but it's 9 or 10 games. Like, most programs, I don't know. Like, Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State in a while. People are like, oh, but he can't beat Ohio State. Well, Neither of your last coaches, really. Like,
but like, so like, they have been consistently good. Michigan has been good. They've been winning, you know, 10 games, 9 games. But is that their ceiling under Harbaugh?
Yeah, but is that a? I mean, even if it is, like, eventually you're gonna have to win one, right? Like, you just can them for not winning it. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I see both sides.
But, I don't know. I don't think you could fire a guy unless something like.
Unless like a scandal comes out or something along those lines.
Yeah, like a scandal or like recruiting dips, like somehow, or like you lose a game you're not supposed to lose. Then sure, like. But I just don't think, oh, well, we need to beat Ohio State with fire. Like.
But I think like the thing with like Michigan, like, so if they do can them, I don't think they're in that kind of situation where they're kind of scrambling for a coach because it is Michigan. They kind of can hire any, like, majority of people they want.
But right now, who is there to hire? Like, there's really not a hot head coach to hire. Yeah, but do you can him for winning 10 games a year?
That's what, like, leads up to, like, the tough question. Like I mean, obviously, we would be grateful for 10 wins a year. But, I mean, you do bring up a good point. Like, there's really no hot hire right now. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's going to yell Urban Meyer, but he's not going to go to Michigan. Like, if
Urban Meyer is going to take the USC AD job.
Like, if this one head coach job he's not going to take, I would put money that he doesn't go to to Michigan.
I don't know if you saw, but he commented on a head coaching job today. And he said, I'm out of coaching for at least a year. Ask me again in a year.
So I told you, he's not out. But, like, my whole reasoning behind Urban not going there is he's from Ohio. And a lot of, like, that rivalry is, like, different in those two states. I know a while ago I said that if Les Miles has a good year at Kansas, but, you know, they're not looking good right now. So you got to wonder, like, is Les Miles kind of done?
There isn't a hire. That's the thing. Like, you can't. I don't know who they would hire.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Michigan fans are kind of getting pissed, but I'm not sure if there's any kind of move for them to make.
Maybe Kiffin? I don't know.
Yeah, and then you got Kiffin's in for a 10-year deal.
Yeah, you got to buy him out. His contract's probably ridiculously.
I think it was 10-100.
Yeah. All right, so what's the last question?
What all-time matchup would you have loved to seen, but it never happened? So this kind of ties into the all-time teams question we just had. Okay. So I'll let you give yours first.
Okay, so mine would be the 2018 Clemson Tigers.
Okay.
All right. Versus the... Give me a second to find the year. I think it was the 2012 Alabama team.
Oh, you had the same idea I kind of had. Like, I was just thinking
about it. Versus Nick Saban's best team, basically. A.J. McCarron, C.J. Mosley, D. Milliner. Tons of good guys on that team for Alabama. Amari Cooper was on that team. The running back on that team was, where is it? Why is it not showing up? I forget his name. Also can't speak right now. I don't know if you noticed that.
2012?
Yeah, was they won a natty, didn't they?
Was that TJ Yeldon?
Maybe. It was. It was TJ Yeldon and Eddie Lacy.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was AJ McCarron, Eddie Lacy, TJ Yeldon, and Kenyon Drake. So three NFL guys, an NFL fullback in Jalston Fowler, Cyrus Jones, NFL receiver, Amari Cooper, NFL receiver, Kevin Norwood, NFL receiver, Chance Warmack, NFL offensive lineman. This team was so stacked. CJ Mosley went to the NFL, Reggie Ragland went to the NFL, HaHa Clinton Dix, Landon Collins. Like, this team was just so stacked. And then that Clemson team was also stacked, so it would be a crazy matchup.
So my matchup, the first team, 2006 Rutgers, 06-07, against any of the Big Ten powerhouses right now. Because I really am curious on how that team would match up. Because you have Teal, Rice, Kenny Britt, Underwood. Like those were good teams. So I wanted to see if like they were just like if they were actually would have competed in the Big Ten. Like I personally think they would have. Like Brian Leonard, I think, I don't know if I mentioned him, like he was on that team. Like that was when Rutgers in like its heyday of putting guys into the league.
Yeah. That doesn't do anything for me.
I don't know. That's the team I grew up watching. Like I love that team. Okay, so we're going to, I think that answers all the questions. We talked about anything we want to talk about segment-wise. Anything else you want to add before we go into interviews?
I don't know. That's it.
All right, so our first interview we're going to jump right into is going to be Keith Brown. Number one inside linebacker, 2021 class. So we have another interview after that, and then the recurring segment, Hot on the Trail. So we'll catch you guys on the flip side of Keith Brown.
All right, so I'm here with 4-star linebacker from the state of Oregon, class of 2021, Keith Brown. Keith, what's up?
What's up, man? Not much. I'm just chilling. I'm actually about to go get my first car today, so I'm pretty excited.
About to get your first what?
My first car today, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, man. You just got your license?
Yeah, I got my license back in July.
Oh, man. Awesome moment, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, all right. So my first question for you, we were talking about this the other day. Once you get your car, are you going to go to Popeyes or Chick-fil-A for your sandwich?
Yeah, that's not even a question, man. I'm going to Popeyes. I'm going to Popeyes getting that chicken sandwich right away.
Yeah, me and Matt, the guy I run this account with, we drove 35 minutes to a Popeyes the other day.
Yeah.
And on the front door, it said, we are out of the chicken sandwich.
I went about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I was actually standing in line, and someone bought a few of them, and he offered me one. He said, hey, do you want to buy this off me for $3? And ever since then, I've been in love with it.
That's crazy. You got to describe it, though, because I haven't had one yet. And, like, they said they won't have another one until November.
It's life-changing. It'll literally change your life. It'll change your whole perspective on every piece of food you ever ate in your entire life. I wouldn't consider it a food anymore. I'd consider it a lifestyle.
That just makes me want one more, honestly.
Yeah, gotta get the spicy one, though.
Yeah, me too. I get the spicy sandwich. Like, I'm a spicy guy. All right, so moving into football a little bit. I want to read you your 247 evaluation. I don't know if you ever read it.
I may or may not. I don't know.
It says you are a good lateral movement, ability to move in space, downhill linebacker who could be a three-down player, but needs to improve on his play diagnosis. What do you think of that?
Yep. I agree with that. Last season, my sophomore season, was my first year playing varsity football and actually playing high school football because freshman year, I only played the last three games due to injury. But so sophomore year is a really big learning year for me. So that's kind of what my evaluation came off of, was my first year of varsity football, my first year of high school football learning. So last year, I definitely could say my play diagnosis was slow because I was still learning how to read guards, how to read the center, how to read like down and distance, stuff like that. So I do agree with that evaluation, absolutely. And downhill, obviously, I like to be physical. Lateral movement, I have pretty good feet, pretty good hips, so I can move pretty well.
Yeah, do you consider yourself more of a pass rusher or a coverage guy?
I would say I enjoy pass rush more than coverage, but I think I can play pretty both pretty well. I can cover most receivers. I can run with most running backs. But I can also beat most tackles or tight ends when it comes to pass rush. So I kind of see myself as both. I play more of a coverage guy from my high school just because I play middle. We don't rush the middle a lot, rush the edges more. So, yeah.
Yeah, but plus, you're probably one. I would assume you're one of the better guys on your team. And I don't want to put your teammates down, but.
I wouldn't even consider myself the best linebacker on my team. My teammate, Landon Kissley, he's a senior this year. He is far better than me at linebacker. He's just undersized, so he gets kind of overlooked. But he is definitely a better linebacker than me. But credit's on my team. My team's really good, but I sometimes have to pull something out.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure there's things that you do and your teammates just like, wow, like you're unreal. Especially because you've only been playing football for, you said, 2 years, 1 year?
Oh, no, I've been playing football my whole life, but high school football, like last season was my first season.
Oh, I thought you meant you just played one season total.
Oh no, I've been playing since kindergarten.
I was like, damn, you're a 4-star. You played 1 year.
Yeah, no, I wish this kid, but yeah, I'm playing for a while.
Yeah. All right, so I think you were at Oregon yesterday, right?
Oh yeah, me and Noah Sue were down there running around a little bit.
Two of the best linebackers like on the West Coast. What do you think of Oregon yesterday?
I had a great time at Oregon yesterday. You know, the coaches treat me so well. I got a chance to sit down with Cristobal right before the games. He likes to welcome me and my family with open arms and welcome. So every time I'm there, I have a really good time. Whether it's how I'm treated or them keeping me busy, having fun. So I had a great time overall, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you said you were there with Noah Sewell. Are you and him, like, close, or he's just another visitor?
No, me and him are pretty tight. We started texting each other, I would say, last January, right before the 5-star challenge. And then we met up with each other. When was the 5-star challenge? We started texting each other a few months before the 5-star challenge. And then in December, when I went to the 5-star challenge, we hung out 24/7 while we were there, like in the arcade, hotel room, stuff like that. So ever since, I FaceTimed his mom while we were there. So ever since then, we've been really tight. When he told me he was coming to Oregon yesterday, I decided, yeah, I might as well come too. I live so close.
Yeah, so you live close. Like, I'm not sure. I'm from New Jersey, actually. So Oregon's way out there. I am a Ducks fan, though. So
for sure. I live 45 minutes away.
Oh, yeah. So that's pretty close. Yeah. I think I'm flying to Oregon for the first time for the Washington State game. It's like a 7-hour flight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good game.
Yeah. So is there any Ducks players that you're pretty close with?
I'm pretty tight with Brian Addison. And I know I've been talking to Troy Dye a little bit. I like talking to him. He's a good guy. Super nice. Penne Sewell, Noah's older brother. He's super nice. Super cool guy. I got to meet Mace Funa yesterday. He's sweet. And that's really it when it comes to me being tight with players. But I do know a lot of the players. I know, I think his name's Cyrus. He's a running back, number 33. We follow each other on Instagram. Dallas Warmack, Fat Mac. Yeah, I know a lot of the guys on the team, actually.
Yeah, I mean, me too. Mace Funa, you said he's awesome. He's a pretty cool guy. I've talked to him a few times. Definitely one of my favorite Oregon players.
Yeah, he's good. He is a good player.
Yeah. All right, so to get away from Oregon for a little bit, what are you looking for in a school? Not necessarily the school, but like what you take into like the aspect of recruiting? Like, what do you like about schools?
For me, when it comes to like me considering a school, the playing time that I could potentially be getting, the location, like the how far and how close or how far the school is, stuff like that. The education is a big one for me because I want to either do sports medicine or sports marketing. So they have to have something pretty good along the lines of those two. And for me, it's how well they treat me and my family. You know, my mom's probably, I think coaches should try to recruit my mom when they try to recruit me because she's a tough one to crack. So that's kind of where I stand when it comes to my recruitment.
That's good. So you said they recruit your mom. Have you seen those like photo shoots where like the players like bring their like mom or their dad?
Yeah.
They should do that.
Yeah.
So you're a West Coast guy. Could you see yourself leaving the West Coast for school? Or?
It's not something that I'm okay with leaving the West Coast for sure, but it's like if I feel really comfortable in the West Coast and I fall in love with the school on the West Coast, and that's probably where I'll stay. But if I go East Coast and I take a visit somewhere and I really, really enjoy it, then that could also be something I factor in too, just because for me, it's not, the distance isn't a huge thing for me. I do want my mom to be able to watch me play all my games, so as many as she can make. But for me, it's really just where I feel most comfortable at. So whether that be East Coast, West Coast, the South, I'll figure that out when it comes time.
No, yeah, it's like if you get an Alabama offer, you're not just going to say, well, they're on the West Coast, so I'm not going
to go. I'd definitely visit Alabama if they offer me.
Yeah. No, I think most people would.
Yeah, it's Alabama. Nick Saban, that's crazy.
All right, so just to end off here, do you have any goals for your season this year in high school or any big games you're looking forward to?
My goals coming to this season is I'm not really worried about my stats or anything like that or offers coming in this year. I really, really just want to win a state title because I was – in 2016, we won a state title. I wasn't on the team yet. I was an eighth grader. My freshman year, we lost in the second round, and then last year we lost in the first round. So we get in the playoffs every year, but I think this year we have a good chance to make all the way. So I really just want to win a state title and a league title. And then big games coming up, I would say week – 3 versus Silverton, that'll be a really big game. Last year, there was a helicopter over the game. And then week 5 versus West Albany, it'll be a really good game, too.
Yeah, well, good luck with most of those games, and I'm sure you'll do fine. Just one last thing is, do you see yourself committing before your senior season, or do you think you're going to have to process play out?
I'm going to definitely commit for my senior season just because I don't want to have to deal with a bunch of coaches calling and texting me all the time and sending me mail my senior year. I just want to focus on graduating and finishing my season and getting into college.
Yeah, see, that's actually, it's funny that you say that because our best friend, he plays D1 football. So we know, like, he told us, like, his senior year, like, he was getting so many texts, like, because he was uncommitted, like, coaches were calling him, like, every day.
Yeah, so I just want to kind of go into, like, senior season, just kind of knowing where I'm going to go, knowing where my loyalty stands, and then definitely to focus on my grades and just finishing my school with my friends.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, so good luck this season, Keith. Thank you for doing the interview with us. And I know you're probably really busy. You're at Oregon.
Yeah, no problem. I will thank you for the interview. I'll keep in touch.
Yeah, you're welcome back on anytime. Thank you.
For sure. See you.
All right, so that was Keith Brown. Like I said again, number one inside linebacker. We're going to jump right into the interview with Christian Miller, 3-star of South Carolina. We talk about a lot of good things with him, about his play style, about his size, what makes him the player he is. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side of that for Hot on the Trails.
He also has some great Cam Newton stories.
All right, so we're here with class of 2020 3-star uncommitted prospect, Christian Miller. Chris, thanks for coming on, bro.
Thankful to be here.
So we're just going to get started right away. I know John has a couple questions, and anything I'll have, I'll branch off of his. So, John, why don't you get started?
All right. So, Chris, at what point did you realize that you weren't just like the average high school football player?
When I started making more plays than all of my other teammates, and then college coaches started to notice.
Do you have a favorite play that you made that, like, you think college coaches should look at?
You said a favorite play?
Yeah, a favorite play that you've made.
Nah, not a favorite. All of them are pretty equal to me.
Nice. So I noticed you've been on a lot of visits. What have you enjoyed the most so far?
Can you repeat it again?
My bad. I said you've been on a lot of visits. What visits have you enjoyed the most?
The visits I enjoyed the most were probably Florida, Georgia, and Liberty. Yeah, Liberty.
Liberty, yeah, your crystal ball is actually to Liberty. That's an in-state school for you, right?
No, sir.
Oh, no.
It's North Carolina, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or Virginia, maybe?
No, Virginia, yeah.
It's Virginia. I knew it was somewhere in that area.
Yeah, all right, yes, so it's kind of local a little bit, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Yeah. So, what do you like about Liberty?
How the coaches treat me. Just the atmosphere there. Everybody's pretty welcoming. I mean, on my other visits, they were too. Mm-hmm. But Liberty just showed me a little bit more love.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what my next question was going to be. Like, when you go on these visits, like, what's like the number one priority for you? Like, what are you looking for, you know, outside of like the facilities and everything? What makes you feel like most at home at the school when you're on a visit?
Probably, I would say the coaches. Coaches are a big part because with now, coaches just pick up and leave like nothing. So, if the coaches like you and genuinely like you, because there's a lot of players out there with offers, of course. But the coaches genuinely like you. They speak to you on a daily. They, you know what I'm saying, kind of blow up your phone. Then it kind of separates them from the rest.
Yeah, I see that. I know what you mean. But I saw Liberty, like, their facilities are, like, awesome. I noticed their, like, indoor practice facility.
Yes, like, sir.
It's insane. Like, how do they compare to, like, the other schools? Because, like, I was actually kind of blown away when I looked at their, like, facilities.
I was actually surprised when I went up there. I went up there with the intentions of just taking another photo shoot. Not really, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Getting too deep into it. But I was blown away with the facilities. They match some Power Five programs with the facilities they have. I didn't know it was like that. But yeah, they definitely are in competition with some schools.
I actually have one more question. Because I was just looking at your Twitter. You met Cam Newton?
Actually, I played on his 707 team. He was my coach.
Oh, dude. So, all right, we got to talk about this.
Yeah, now we got to talk about it.
Newton?
It's definitely, I would say life-changing. Because I've been a Cam Newton fan since he won the national championship at Auburn. And then when a coach from his staff invited me to play, and he's a real humble person. When we had tournaments, he would always come in the room, check on us. He would always, like, play 2K or Madden with us. Real down-to-earth person. But when we're on the field, he doesn't play games. He is a hard-nosed coach. He likes stuff to be done perfectly, and when it's not perfectly, it's a problem. But playing for him is definitely life-changing. Like, I seen how an NFL quarterback, a franchise player, his work ethic. So it just made me think of how I had to up my game to play at the top of the professional football.
Yeah, that's actually crazy that I almost missed that, because, like, I went through your Twitter earlier and I was like, all right, what can I ask? But that's crazy, and it's crazy how, like, does he, like, show up to, like, practices and stuff? Like,
that's like one of the number one questions people always ask. He's at every tournament and at every practice.
Yeah, that's like shocking, because you think he'd have, like, a lot of things to do, but, like, that's awesome that he takes time to, like, coach you guys, and, like, obviously he does, like, good coaching, because...
Yeah, we won national tournament championships. Only, like, obviously you would know, only the best of the best players. And really, we had players from all over, so I would say best of the best players in America would play for Cam, and he handpicks, like, you won't be on the team if Cam doesn't say yes, he can play.
Really?
Oh, so that must have been, like, an awesome moment finding out.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right, just seriously, last question this time is, have you gave him the work on the sticks on Madden yet, or no?
He's ridiculous on Madden. Like, I thought I was good, but he's on a different level.
He's like calling plays and stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely, and he plays, like, the funny thing is, he plays with stuff and he dominates, like, dominate.
Really?
Yeah, he dominates.
That's crazy. Do you play on a PS4?
Sir?
So I said, do you play on an Xbox or PS4?
Xbox.
Oh, man, we got to get a game in one day.
We have to.
So, all right, well, I think that wraps it up.
All right, so once again, thanks for coming on. Like I said before, we're going to congratulate you now for wherever you do commit. We'll definitely be looking at your high school stats this season, and then maybe we'll get you on before you step on campus, wherever you do decide to commit to. So that's something we'll get to later on down the road. But thanks for coming on, man. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, man.
All right, guys. So that was Christian Miller. The last part of the episode we're going to get into is going to be Hot on the Trails. Like always, Hot on the Trails is brought to you guys by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an easy alternative to buying tickets to see your favorite team play. Best part about SeatGeek is while you're on the website, when you're looking at tickets, anything in green is a good deal. Anything in red, not a great deal. You should probably look somewhere else. Also, another good thing about SeatGeek, we have a SeatGeek code. So you want $20 off your ticket? I'll tell you how to get it. Code CFBTD at checkout. $20 off your purchase. If you buy a $20 ticket, it's kind of like a buy one, get one free. CFBTD at checkout. First purchase. Go see your favorite team play on us.
All right, so we're back with another week with Hot on the Trails with Max. Max, what's up?
What's up, John? Back at it. College football is in full swing, and there's also some recruiting to talk about. So let's get into it.
Yep. All right, so I'm going to start with my hot team first because I have notes this time. I'm prepared. The Louisville Cardinals. They flipped two commits this week. They flipped a three-star wide receiver, Nick Melito. He flipped from Toledo. That rhymes. Three-star cornerback, Lovie Jenkins, flipped from Tennessee, which is pretty big for Louisville. They have the 29th class ranked nationally, and they had the 69th class ranked last year. So a big improvement under Scott Satterfield.
So, yeah, Louisville is doing some big things. I'm just going to transition into my hot team with the Oklahoma Sooners. They landed a couple of commitments in the past couple weeks, first of which was three-star defensive end Noah Arins from St. Louis, Missouri, ranked a .8742. And it's great for the Sooners to work the national brand and get guys from all over here. He had a couple other notable offers were Arizona State, Illinois, Kentucky, and Nebraska. And then we also got, the Sooners got, a four-star offensive tackle, Anton Harrison, rated a .9183 on 247 Sports. He is from the D.C. area, so they're, again, going far and wide to get who they want. And he's a number 20 offensive tackle, number 4 player in the D.C. area. They got some pretty good players out there, especially at St. John's College High School. Some other offers that he had on the table were Florida State, Michigan, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Penn State, and Texas A&M. So he could have gone pretty much anywhere in the country. These two commits bring Oklahoma up to the 11th class nationally, second in the Big 12 behind only Texas, up to 17 commits and rocking an average commitment rate of .9108.
Yeah, I think in the next few years, for the foreseeable future, I think Oklahoma is a recruiting powerhouse under Lincoln Riley, especially offensively.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone wants to come play for him, especially when you have two Heisman winners in the last 2 years.
Maybe
three. Who knows? Jalen Hurts has gotten a ton of hype, and he certainly showed that he's capable in that Houston game, even though they're a group of five team, if I'm not wrong.
No, they are. All right, so I'm going to move into my cold team here. Pains me to say it, but I'm going with Rutgers. I'm going to let you know why, Max. I'm sure you're thrilled to hear why.
I am. That's your team, so never like to hear that.
No, all right. So the top 24 players in the state of New Jersey, 23 players in the state are committed to other Power 5 schools or Notre Dame. So not even Group of Fives, other Power 5 schools. One of them is a four-star running back, Jalen Berger. He is uncommitted, but he's likely to go to Ohio State. He was the third target on the Ohio State board for running backs, and the other two have went elsewhere. So it's expected that he will end up as a Buckeye. They missed on key targets, such as three-star tight end Charles Finley, who's going to West Virginia, four-star quarterback Michael Alamo, who's going to Purdue, which is in conference. It stings even more because his brother just transferred to Rutgers, so that's a recruiting battle we should have won. And Devin Willock, also from New Jersey. All three of these players are from New Jersey, by the way. He has a Georgia offer, and he just committed to Penn State. Rutgers didn't offer him until after those two schools, So I don't know what they were doing, but yeah, it pains me to say it.
Jeez, that's brutal. I mean, it sucks when you miss out on guys, but if you're having the best guys in your state go to other schools and you're not even offering them, it's like you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot and taking yourself out of the competition before it even starts. But it looks like they got Jack Del Rio, which is kind of cool. He's a 3-star linebacker from Florida. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's any relation to
the NFL. The other Del Rios?
Yeah, the other Del Rios. But looks like they still have a lot of guys in New Jersey and Florida. So they're working that pipeline a bit.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What's your Colt team?
Yeah, my Colt team for this week is the Michigan State Spartans from the Big Ten Conference. Right now, they ranked 50th nationally and 10th in the Big Ten. Just coming as a bit of a surprise because they went to the college football playoff a couple years ago, and they've kind of fallen off pretty hard, I'd say. I mean, they were in the Red Box Bowl with Oregon. I was at that game, and they played pretty well, but it was just kind of a defensive battle. Neither team could really put points on the board, so it's kind of weird to see them fall this far. They do have a headliner in 4-star linebacker Darius Snow from Texas. 14 commits in this class, but 13 of those 14 commits are 3-stars, which is a little bit worrisome when you're, you know, competing with teams like Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. So they definitely need to pick it up there. They finished 32nd nationally last year, so they've got some ground to make up.
No, definitely. It was interesting, that game against Oregon, it's crazy, like, how much – so, like, losing some big-time games, like, you notice, like, in recruiting sometimes, like, the rankings drop. Like, you know, guys don't want to go to you after you lose a big game. And, like, you get a little bit of a surge when you win those games as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people want to see their teams on the national stage. They want to see them going into the postseason, even if it's not the most glamorous bowl. Particularly, I think, in rebuilding, that's a goal that coaches strive for, is they want to be competitive in the postseason. Maybe it's not the college football playoff, but it's a roar for the players for, you know, everything that they've gone through in the season. And I think it only helps, you know, instill confidence in the people that they're recruiting.
No, definitely. All right, so do you have your Recruit of the Week, Max?
Yeah, Recruit of the Week this week is going to be 5-star cornerback Elias Ricks. He goes to IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. Originally, he's from the LA area, but a couple of things that stood out to me for him is he's had experience at two powerhouse schools, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. I'm wondering if, I mean, this shows that high school players are kind of being recruited to powerhouses. I can't tell you definitively that I know he was recruited, but he was already at an amazing school, was already committed, and for whatever reason, he transferred to IMG. I think that this could potentially be good news for LSU, just getting him closer to Baton Rouge. Maybe it'll make it easier for him to go to games. But currently on his crystal ball, it's USC leads with 54%, followed by LSU with 31%, and then 8% Foggy. So we'll see if they're able to hang on to him. That's pretty big. He's a 6'2" DB, and I think that's pretty dope that we're getting length at the defensive back positions. It just makes it more interesting to watch.
I have a prediction that he flips.
Where do you think he's flipping to?
I think he flips to Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah, Ohio State there.
He said in the past that if Urban Meyer didn't leave Ohio State, he'd be committed to Ohio State at the moment. And he's rooming with the Buckeyes' highest-rated commit in their 2020 class in LeJohn Cavazos. I think he's a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very vocal, like, Ohio State recruiter. So I think he's probably in his ear every day, and, like, I think he's going to flip to the Buckeyes.
Yeah, the Buckeyes have a crazy class, and LeJohn was being recruited by the Ducks for a bit, so I followed him for a while. But a lot of the Ohio State guys look super, super solid. So I don't think that they'll be losing anybody anytime soon.
Yeah. I actually don't think he's the highest rated recruit in the class. I think he's just the biggest leader. But he is a 4-star safety, Cavazos. I mean, obviously, you know that. You talked about him. Although I am just looking at his 247 page, it says he runs a 4.2.
Jeez.
I don't know if that's true, but that's nuts if it is. It says 4.20, so that's crazy.
It's faster than John Ross at the combine, so I'm not sure how likely that is, but either way, we know he's got some blazing speed and he can, you know, provide some skills for that secondary.
Yeah. All right, so I mentioned him a little earlier. Jalen Berger, he's from Powerhouse School, Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey. I think they're ranked nationally. They did lose the game against a D.C. powerhouse in Gonzaga, which is funny because you go to Gonzaga in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He, even though they lost, it's one of the best defenses in the country, and he ran for only 70 yards, but he only had 8 carries, and he had 2 touchdowns.
So he's a goal line back.
Yeah, I think he's rehabbing from an injury because he's a 4-star, and in the first game of the season, he only had 3 carries. So I don't know if he's working his way back from an injury, but he's probably one of the best players in the state. I mean, I don't know if he's ever considered the Ducks, so I don't know if you know about him, but
yeah, I haven't heard about him too much. Just checking him out right now. It looks like he's getting some buzz to go to Ohio State. He's announcing in early January, so that would lead me to believe it's one of the All-American Bowls.
Yeah, he's announced, he said like last year that he's announcing at the All-American Bowl.
Yeah, so he's got his offer list is pretty crazy. The Ducks have offered him, but as far as West Coast schools, it looks like the Ducks are the only ones to jump in. But he can go just about anywhere he wants.
Yeah, I believe he said on record he wants to play in the Big Ten. But I don't hold me to that. I don't know if that was just like something I read or if he actually said that.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, people really seem to be – the top-tier talent seems to be going to the SEC and Big Ten. Where do you stand? Like, who do you think is the best – which conference is the best one in college football?
I think the Big Ten is the best conference. Maybe a little bit of a homer, but it just – I think the SEC falls off the bottom. I mean, so does the Big Ten. With Rutgers, I mean, I hate to say it, but Maryland looks like a college football playoff team this year, so.
Yeah, I mean, Maryland came out of nowhere, but at the same time, it doesn't really surprise me because Mike Locksley was the Georgia or Alabama offensive coordinator, so you know, either way, you know that he came from a team that puts up a ton of points. So I'm excited to see Maryland do well, especially after they had that player that passed away from heat exhaustion. They've kind of had, you know, a lot of negative press, but it looks like Mike Locksley is getting in there and he's trying to do things the right way. So good for them.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up, right? I think we're covered everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that'll do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to come back next week.